The World Health Organization says 3 million children die around the world each year from the effects of environmental hazards. These hazards include air pollution, fumes from leaded gasoline, and contaminated drinking water. Dr. Karim Ahmed of the National Council for Science and Environment tells Common Ground's Cliff Brockman, children are more susceptible than adults to environmental problems.
Well, you can divide the problems of children worldwide into two categories. One is that many children, particularly in developing countries, are exposed to a lot of biohazards, meaning bacterial contaminated water and unclean air. And so in one sense, children are very vulnerable to these because they have smaller bodies to assimilate the toxins that adults may be able to withstand. Children have growing bodies that allow them not to develop in the normal sort of way. For example, lead might affect their brain development and so on. When the World Health Organization talks about these statistics, they give you actually raw death figures, whereas the number of children who actually get sick or have been irreversibly damaged may be much, much greater than that. Children have smaller bodies, and for pound, they have to assimilate a lot of these toxins and bacterial contaminants and so on. And so they become fairly great targets of these kinds of insults, environmental insults that we particularly find in developing countries these days.
When we think of air pollution, we usually think of outdoor air pollution, but WHO, the World Health Organization, says that it's a problem for indoor air pollution as well. Can you explain what
yes,
that is?
Yes, this is particularly in true countries like China and India, where they still use a lot of coal to burn for use in cooking and for home heating. In India, they use a lot of biomass materials like firewood, dung, and so on. It causes a tremendous amount of smoke to be generated, what they call fine particles, which are extremely harmful.
Dirty water is also a big concern for children. The Pan American Health Organization, the UN, and others have said that. They say it transmits diarrhea, which is the second biggest child killer in the world. What can be done to improve water quality?
Well, the World Health Organization has estimated that over a billion inhabitants in the world do not have access to safe and clean water, and about 2.5 billion people do not have access to adequate sanitation facilities. And so what happens when you have a combination of extremely polluted water and inadequate sanitation that causes even more degradation of water sources? And so many inhabitants around the world have no other recourse but to take water from those highly contaminated systems. And that's how we have such a high degree of diarrheal diseases amongst young inhabitants in those countries, particularly infants less than the age of 5. Many of them die from these kinds of diseases that they get exposed to.
Is there something that can be done to improve water quality?
There has been a major attempt to try to bring in adequate sanitation systems in developing world. I think combined with proper education, hygienic education, just for example, washing hands with soap might have a tremendous impact in some of these communities. And also to provide people with an understanding that they should not draw water from these areas might make a big difference. Unfortunately, many times in these parts of the world, they have no other recourse but to use these kinds of systems. But I think education is a major, major factor, short of having enormous infusion of funds to build new sanitation systems and to provide clean water. Pipe water, for example, to people in, particularly in rural districts, is quite an expensive proposition at the moment. But I think a lot more of the multilateral and bilateral agencies are putting their resources into providing clean and portable water around the world. And I think in the next couple of decades, the United Nations have made a commitment that they will make safe and clean water as highest priority all the programs that they are trying to now implement.
Many countries, especially in Asia, still use leaded gasoline. We don't think about that perhaps in this country, but what kind of effect does that have on children?
Leaded gasoline is the one single most important issue for many parts of the world where they still are using that kind of fuel. Many countries are beginning to address this problem. In the country that I'm coming from, Pakistan, in the last 2-3 years, there have been a complete phase out of leaded gasoline because of the work we have done to try to bring to the attention of policymakers and people working in the industry about the long-term impact of lead and gasoline. The same thing is happening in other parts of the subcontinent, Bangladesh, India, and so on. It is still not being fully implemented in some parts of Asian countries. I think there has been a worldwide awareness of this problem now. The World Bank and the WHO has really focused on this issue for at least the last decade. And I think as more people become aware of these issues, it will be addressed. One of the highest priority of our organization right now is to see a complete phase out of leaded gasoline in all developing countries where it's still being used.
Just for our listeners who may not be familiar with this issue, leaded gasoline, how does that impact children?
Leaded gasoline produces lead that goes into the atmosphere. And lead, when assimilated by young children, affect their growth pattern, but most severely affects their brain. So even very low levels of lead can cause a reduction in cognitive abilities. A somewhat higher concentration can cause all kinds of developmental abnormalities. And sometimes at very high concentration, you can get outright fatalities from being exposed to lead.
Where, environmentally speaking, would you say some of the worst places are for children to live?
I think right now, some of the worst places for children to live are some of the large megacities around the world. Mexico City comes to mind immediately. There are many, many areas there where the children are living in an extremely degraded environment. Some of the poverty-stricken areas of Rio de Janeiro, for example. There are large cities in Asia, whether it's Bombay, Calcutta, my hometown of Karachi, for example. There are many, many slums where people have no access to clean water. They have very degraded air to breathe. Then there are countries in Africa where children, not only in cities but also in the rural areas, are very much affected by exposure. I mentioned earlier about the fact that children who live in rural areas of India and China get exposed to high concentration of particulate matter from inappropriate combustion sources. So some of the areas in the world where children are very much affected are in the rural areas also, not just the big cities.
Many of these problems sound preventable. Just kind of in an overall manner, what can be done to improve environmental conditions?
I think that there has to be, first of all, a recognition on the part of health and environmental ministers and officials in these developing countries that these are, the children are our future. They have to understand that by neglecting the need of children today, they're basically mortgaging the future of not only themselves, but their whole society. I think that's how we have been presenting the information to policymakers where I come from. And when they begin to recognize that this is our future, and we are in fact shortchanging our future by not taking care of our children today, would have enormous implications for our growth and prosperity in the future. So that's one area. The other, I think, is there has to be some involvement on part of both multilateral and bilateral agencies to address these issues directly. United States in recent years, starting with the Clinton administration and going through the current administration, tremendous impact effort has been made in dealing with children's health issues by agencies like the Environmental Protection Agencies and others because they feel that this is an area of highest priority. There has been an enormous increase in childhood asthma, for example, in this country, United States, and they don't really know, can pinpoint the cause of it. There's also a whole new class of toxic chemicals that have been identified in recent years called endocrine disruptors that impact the developmental potential of children. So there's a major effort to try to understand the impact on children and what the long-term consequences would be for the society as a whole. So I think there has been, at least in the last 10 years, a major understanding about the special vulnerability of children, why we should pay more attention to their needs more than adults, for example, and how to address these questions. And more organizations are getting involved in these issues, both internationally and nationally.
Dr. Kareem Ahmed is the director of the International Program at the National Council for Science and the Environment. He is also the founder and president of the Global Children's Health and Environment Fund. For Common Ground, I'm Cliff Brockman.